Title: Mapping Macros Then Recording Passes Advanced. All right, let's take a static drum and bass loop and turn it into something that feels alive. The goal today is movement with control, not random scribbles, not hope it sounds cool. We're going to build a macro control surface like an instrument, then perform our automation in clean, intentional passes, the same way you'd build a mix in stages. This is advanced Ableton workflow, but once it clicks, it's ridiculously fast. First, quick overview of what we're building. You'll end up with three performance zones. 1. A bass macro rack that gives you tone, motion, grit, safety, and width control. 2. A drum bus macro rack that lets you push punch and aggression without wrecking consistency. 3. An effects throw setup for those little moments that make a drop feel arranged, not looped. And then you'll record multiple automation passes into arrangement. Think of it like filming a scene with multiple takes. One take for bass movement, one for drum impact, one for tension into the drop, one for ear candy. Each pass has a job. That's the secret. Let's prep the session so recording feels effortless. Set your tempo somewhere in that classic pocket, 170 to 176 BPM. Go into arrangement view and create locators for reel sections. Even if you're only working on the drop right now, give yourself a skeleton. Intro for 16 bars, build for 16, drop for 32, break for 16, drop 2 for 32. You're basically telling your future self, here's the story. Now loop the drop. Start with 16 bars if you want it manageable, or 32 if you want to capture longer phrasing. Set global quantization to 1 bar. This is going to help your punches in and out feel clean while you perform. One more mindset shift before we touch devices. Do your kit locked work first. Levels, basic EQ, the boring stability stuff. Then treat automation like performance sprinting at the end. That keeps you from mixing while you're trying to be creative. Now we build the bass performance rack. Make a MIDI track called bass. Drop in Waveatable or Operator if you want raw FM. Pick something harmonically rich. You need content for movement to grab. Write a simple 1-2 bar DNB phrase. And here's a helpful rule. Leave air. A short note. A gap. A longer note. Maybe a ghost note. If your bass is talking constantly, your drums have nowhere to slap. Now build a classic processing chain after the synth. Add saturator. Analog clip mode is a great starting point. Drive around 3 to 6 dB. Add auto filter. Use something with character like MS2 or PRD. Add a bit of resonance. Not so much that it whistles, just enough that it has attitude. Optionally add amp for some bark. Keep it subtle. Tone shaping, not destruction. Then redux. Very lightly. The moment you hear your sub getting trashed, you've gone too far. Then EQ8 to manage the low end and any harsh spots. And at the very end, add a utility. Important detail, this utility is going to be your static trim stage. Do not map it. It's there so if your macros change perceived loudness, you can recalibrate without chasing faders. Now group the whole chain into an instrument rack. Command or Control G. Here's the big advanced principle. Don't map everything. Map fewer things, but map them like an instrument you can actually play. Open macro map mode and start assigning. Macro 1. Call it open or tone. Something that tells you the outcome. Map auto filter frequency. If you want it to feel more alive, also map a small amount of auto filter drive so as the filter opens, it gets a touch more push. But keep that range tight. Macro 2. Call it res motion. Map waveatable unison amount or detune. Optional. Map some LFO amount to waveatable position so you can introduce evolving motion. The key is, motion you can fade in and out, not motion that's permanently on at full blast. Macro 3, grit. Map saturator drive and a tiny range of redux downsample. Tiny, like barely there to spicy, not sound card from 2003. Macro 4, formant or peak. Map auto filter resonance, and if you want the vowel vibe, map a narrow EQ8 bell frequency very subtly. This is one of those small move, big character macros if you keep it controlled. Macro 5. Sub safe. Map something that lets you quickly rein in low-end chaos when you get excited with distortion. That can be the low shelf gain or a low cut frequency on a dedicated EQ. The goal is not to remove your sub, it's to keep headroom and translation stable when the mid-range starts getting aggressive. Macro 6. Width. Map utility width somewhere around 80 to 140%. And remember, width is for mids. Your sub should stay mono and solid. Now, this part separates pros from pain. Set your min and max ranges. Treat these ranges like calibrating a performance instrument. If your macro only sounds good in 10% of its travel, Tighten the range until the whole travel is usable. You should be able to ride the knob continuously without hunting. Also, macro hygiene. Rename your macros with verbs and outcomes. Open, chew, tread, bloom, tighten, sub. When you're staring at automation lanes later, you want to instantly understand what the curve is doing without thinking about which device it was. Next, the drum bus performance rack. Put your drums into a group called drums. On the group, add drum bus, glue compressor, saturator, EQ8, and utility. Group those devices into an audio effect rack. Now map a few macros. Macro 1. Punch. Map drum bus transient upward, and map glue threshold in a small range so it grabs a touch more when you push punch. Keep this controlled. DNB needs consistency. If your drums are slamming one bar and collapsing the next, the groove suffers. Macro 2. Dirt. Map drum bus drive and saturator drive. Again, small ranges. You're trying to get danger, not broken mix. Macro 3. Air or top. Map an EQ8 high shelf gain, like around 6 to 12k. Keep it subtle, 0 to plus 2.5 dB. This is the kind of macro that feels like the drop opened up without changing the entire balance. Macro 4. Room. Add a small room reverb. Hybrid reverb works great. Map dry slash wet, but cap it. Like 0 to 10% maximum. This is not wash. This is space for fills. Cool. Now we're ready to record automation passes. Stay in arrangement view. Enable automation arm, that little automation button up top. Make sure your loop is active over the drop. And quick clarification, we're not in MIDI mapping mode for the rack itself. Macro mapping is already done. MIDI mapping is only if you want to control those macros with a controller knob, which is optional but very powerful. A couple settings notes. Record quantization is usually off for this, because you want smooth moves, not stepped ones. If your automation is coming in steppy or glitchy, it's often CPU spikes. Increase your buffer while recording these passes, or freeze heavy tracks. You can always bring latency back down later. Now the core method. Record in layers with intent. Pass 1 is bass movement. This is the foundation. Record 16 to 32 bars of the drop. Only touch open and release motion and maybe a little grit. But set yourself a rule, mostly long arcs. Think 4 to 8 bar phrases. You're trying to make the bass feel alive without sounding like it's constantly being moved. And here is a coaching tip. Build and reset points. At the start of every 8 or 16 bars, deliberately bring one macro closer to neutral for a moment. That reset makes the next rise feel intentional, like a new sentence, not one long rant. Pass 2 is drums, impact and dirt. Rewind and record again, but focus on drum macros only. Don't touch the bass this pass. Push punch slightly on bar 1, and again on bar 17 if you have a 32-bar drop. Those are your anchors. Then do small dirt ramps into fills. Not everywhere, just enough that the fills feel like they're about to spill over the edge. Pass 3 is tension into the drop. Loop the 8 bars before the drop, or wherever your pre-drop build is. Close the bass open macro down gradually, then snap it open right on the downbeat of the drop. And do a tiny bit of drum room into that downbeat. Then pull it back to dry immediately after. That little bloom then stop makes the drop hit harder, because the space collapses and the transients feel closer. Pass 4 is ear candy. Throws. Create a return track called effects throw. Put echo on it, sync to 1/8 or dotted 1/4, then an auto filter high pass, then a short reverb. Map a macro called throw amount. You can map return track utility gain, or echo dry slash wet, depending on how you like to control it. Record quick throws on the last snare of an 8-bar phrase, on vocal chops, or on a restab. These are punctuation marks. Don't overuse them. Now, extra advanced coaching. Decide what wins when passes overlap. If you keep recording multiple takes on the same macro lane, you can end up with competing curves and a messy who's in charge situation. A clean approach is to commit per section. Sometimes that means duplicating the track for drop 1 versus drop 2, or consolidating so each section has one authoritative automation story. Think of it like comping vocals. You're choosing the best performance for each moment. Alright, now we edit. This is where the track goes from cool idea to release ready. Press A to show automation. Look at each macro lane and clean it. Remove accidental spikes. Shape curves into musical phrasing. 4, 8, 16 bar arcs. DNB is storytelling in chunks. Instead of smashing simplify and losing the vibe, try digittering manually. Select a section. Delete every other breakpoint. Keep the overall shape. Remove micro wiggles. You want movement, not wobble soup. And keep an arrangement logic in mind. Bars 1 to 8. Subtle movement. Bars 9 to 16. Introduce more grit or motion. Bar 17. a reset and fresh impact. Bars 25 to 32, final boss variation plus fills. Now a couple pro level upgrades you can add if you want heavier, darker results. Split SUB and MID inside your base rack. Chain 1, sub, operator sign, mono, minimal processing. Chain 2, mid, Eurese or Neuro chain, where width and distortion live. This is how you get aggression without destroying headroom. The sub stays stable. The mid-range gets wild. You can also build danger macros with safety rails. For example, one macro increases saturator drive but also slightly reduces output and slightly increases a high pass on the MID chain only. So when you push harder, it self-corrects. That's how you perform aggressively without blowing up the mix. And if you're on Live 11 or newer, consider macro variations. Make three states. A is stable groove. B is aggressive midrange. C is fill or chaos. Then automate recalling variations at phrase points. That's instant, repeatable change without drawing 10 lanes. Last big tip. Record with a gesture language per pass. One pass is law marks only. Another pass is punctuation moves, like one beat to one bar. Another pass is end of phrase accents only. Rules like that keep you musical, because you're not trying to do everything every time. To wrap it up, here's what you're taking away. Macros are your performance interface, so map fewer, smarter parameters with tight ranges. Record automation in passes, bass movement, drum impact, tension, ear candy. Edit like a producer, phrase-based arcs, controlled contrast, no accidental chaos. And especially in drum and bass, keep the sub stable, keep the changes intentional and use resets so the drop feels like it evolves instead of just escalating forever. Now, quick challenge for you. Take an existing 16-bar drop loop, build a bass rock with 6 macros and a drum rock with 4. Record 3 passes, bass motion, drum punch and dirt, and 1 FX throw lane. Then edit each lane until it's clean enough that you could explain it to someone. No more than about 6 to 10 breakpoints per 8 bars, but still vibey. This audio version is shortened for playback.